Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you want to be. Hard dare to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little bumpy. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're going to step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, April 13th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Joining us in a moment for today's episode will be Shirley George Frazier, author, speaker, and entrepreneur. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you carved out time in your schedule to join us, and I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. Even if you're listening to this later, you may also email me comments or questions for use on future shows. If you're on the phone lines, just punch in 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're on the web chat, just type in your questions or comments, and I'll be able to see them, and then I can read them on the air to the guest. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so anything can happen. Lost signals being one of the common problems. If your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at the same number, 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything. All the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. For those of you who are perhaps joining us for the first time, I'm Flora Brown, an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and grandma of 3, recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels, the last 20 of which I taught critical thinking. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to visit my website, www.coloryourlifehappy.com, to learn about my upcoming book, Color Your Life Happy. In it, you're going to find a lot of stories, tips, activities that will speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. On this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness that you deserve in all areas of your life. Our discussion will cover a variety of topics about living a fulfilling life, but most of all, I'll be talking to you about being good to yourself. Each week, I will interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, and all of these things which contribute to lasting happiness. Let's get to the amazing show we have for you today. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Flora. It's wonderful to be here to talk to your listeners.
Thank you. Welcome. Before I begin my interview, Shirley, I want to tell our listeners a bit about you. How about that? Could I do that?
Oh, please do.
Okay.
I'm happy about that.
Shirley George Frazier is recognized worldwide as one of the foremost experts on marketing strategies for small businesses and independent owners who work without employee assistance. I'm well acquainted with Shirley's marketing strategies because I consult her often and refer many people to her as well. In business since 1990, Shirley is president and CEO of Sweet Survival, a consulting firm specializing in business and marketing support. Shirley transforms systems by streamlining publicity campaigns, organizing special events, and training owners and staff members on how to maintain productive work environments, resulting in an average 68% increase in yearly sales. That's more than double, isn't it? That's quite a bit. That's almost double. So that's fantastic. Shirley and her team manage numerous websites and blogs, including www.solobusinessmarketing.com. She is author of Marketing Strategies for the Home-Based Business, Solutions You Can Use Today, and two other top-selling gift industry books. As a professional speaker, Shirley conducts seminars at conferences and trade shows. She has provided small business advice on CNBC, New York Fox Channel 5, and the Food Network. She publishes articles in Gifts and Decorative Accessories, Spare Time Magazine, Opportunities Magazine, and she has been also published worldwide in many other publications. Shirley's business and marketing tips are available for you to go and take a look at on her blog, www.solobusinessmarketing.com/blog. Shirley, I am intrigued by the impact you have had as an entrepreneur.
Well,
as an author,
now that you've
and
gone
a professional
through,
speaker.
Yeah, well, now that you have gone through quite a bit of my background, I'm kind of intrigued myself. Because just thinking and thinking back to everything that I feel I've accomplished, but at the same time, all the value that I believe I've given to or shared with other entrepreneurs who have started and have grown their businesses to the level that they've wanted to grow them to, and helping them to infuse happiness throughout their business lives too.
That's right, because it's all about creating the happy lives we want and deserve, and not just about stockpiling money.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to begin by asking you how you got started in business, because I know that's an interesting story. So would you share with us how you got into being an entrepreneur and author and speaker and so forth?
Certainly.
Okay.
I come from a long line of entrepreneurs, and I tell a lot of people in my classes and at my seminars that even if they can't find entrepreneurs in their family, there's just something that tugs at you from time to time, and maybe it's you're born with it, that you want to do something on your own and at the same time give back to others. Well, I have a lot of entrepreneurs in my family, starting with my great-great-grandmother, who I think it was around 1900, living in Virginia, she grew her own strawberries and shipped them to Manhattan at that time.
An
accomplishment for a woman at that time in that century.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a great aunt who made fudge, and this was in Brooklyn, New York, which is where I'm from. She made her own fudge, and my mom was the delivery person, and this was in the 1940s. And
oh,
at the time, my mom loved the aunt's fudge so much that my mom thought that she could pick at the fudge and eat some of it as she was delivering it.
Uh-oh.
That didn't work out so well for my
mom. That was
the
problem with the shipping department.
Very true, very true. And other than that, my dad owned a chemical company. It was the kind of company that in the 70s made pigments that ended up being eyeshadows and other cosmetics for women. So those are the three entrepreneurs that I know of, very close in my family line, and the entrepreneurial bug hit me from their background. I did work for years for other firms. I've worked in secretarial support as a secretarial support staff person, working in the New Jersey area, which I'm in right now. But also working in New York, there was always a tug for me to get back to New York, and I worked for many years at the World Trade Center, 62nd floor for one of the investment firms there. Now, I wasn't there during, you know, the whole collapse of the place, but I was there years before. And just thinking back to my working days, there was always your benefits package always came with time off. And you'd get that 1 week or that 2 weeks, whatever you get. So it was, in a way, mandatory for you to take a vacation. But it seems that when you begin a business, all of a sudden the vacation time has no time. And you're in the, you're just in the drudgery of your business. And even though it shouldn't be drudgery, all of a sudden when you haven't had vacation, you may start resenting what you do in business and feel like your own employee, which is actually a good start for thinking more about your happiness. Because when you don't factor in at least a small vacation for yourself, then you start to wonder to yourself, okay, how can I fit this in? How can I bring more happiness to my life? Where can I see some vacation, some downtime? What can I do for myself to bring that happiness back? You know, you may not have been happy with a job, and that's why you decided to start your own business, but then it is very important, very crucial to add in some downtime for yourself, not just a two-week vacation or maybe a couple of days, but there's other things you can do each week to factor in time so that you can really think about what you are doing in business without thinking about it, and that's where the happiness starts.
Okay. You touched on something that I wonder if we have listeners who are thinking of going into business might need to consider, and that is, how do you decide which business is right for you, which endeavor? Because you mentioned the importance of getting joy out of it and planning time for yourself so you can balance your life. Do you have any tips for people who are trying to decide which industry is right for them, which endeavor is right for them?
Sure. When I was deciding what type of business I wanted, I attended a how to start a business class at one of the local colleges. And I remember the instructor saying that it was very important for you to have some experience in the career that you wanted to start, in the business you wanted to start. And while I pretty much agreed with that, I also found myself wanting to start a business where I had no experience. So while that person was kind of on track, there were times when you want to have just sink your teeth into something that you're not versed in. So to find what you're looking for, I suggest that you take some time first and look deep within yourself to find out what you're passionate about, what kind of profession would make you get up from your bed every day, just jumping, pretty much leaping out of the bed because you can't wait to get to it.
Okay.
As I said, it may take some time, and I don't mean a year, but it could take some time to really, you know, explore yourself to find out what that passionate profession is going to be. But that's going to be so important to your longevity. So that's important, as well as finding a mentor in that profession to help you make less mistakes than you could make if you didn't have enough history or background in that particular career. So a mentor helps, as well as your forethought. And also, I have to say, even infomercials can help you. You may not be selling beauty products or creating the next best home gym, but you will hear buzzwords and calls to action that are going to help you make an impact with your customers so that they leap out of bed where they can't wait to either get to your website or to make a call to you to continue coaching or some other service that you are going to provide them with.
Okay. I heard you say, let me go back and kind of reiterate what I'm hearing. Then one of the suggestions you gave for people sounds like a starting point would be to take business seminars, because I think this is a good start, just because I think some people who get frustrated on their jobs just want to quit their jobs, and they think that running a home-based business or a retail store will be easier and better where they, because they won't have a boss. I think that taking the business seminars will open your eyes to the kinds of tough decisions and things you will have to make as your own boss, which can sometimes be rougher than having another boss.
You're so
taking
on point.
Some business seminars, yeah. And then research is important. I think being patient with yourself, because if making money, quick money, is your only motivation, you probably are going to be unhappy with whatever you choose. So something about the career, the endeavor that you choose has to resonate with you and have stir some inner passion and fulfill some part of you, not just some kind of way to get rich quick.
Very true.
And then so that means learning about the industry that you're interested in and getting a mentor in that industry, because nothing beats having someone who's already been there, done that, to give you guidance. Now, it won't prevent you from making all the mistakes, as
oh,
I well
so
know.
True. Very true on that, too.
But it will certainly speed up your learning and give you some shortcuts that the uninitiated and the brand new person to a field won't know about. And then you mentioned infomercials, and I want to add to that also things like junk mail. I know that in the past I used to despise getting junk mail. Now I look at junk mail as a freebie marketing course and a promotional materials course to see what kind of ways the people who have the big bucks are spending on promoting their services. And I can look at, like you say, the buzzwords, the terminology, the layout, and the same with infomercials. You can look at the format and see how they are promoting whatever product they're using to help you with yours when you eventually settle on what you're going to do. So those are some great tips. Now, I want to move on to challenges, because the modern entrepreneur, I would think, has some challenges that some of which are the same as going into business challenges always were, but they may also have some new challenges that are a result of the computer age or a result of our new millennium. So could you touch on some of the greatest challenges for modern entrepreneurs? Some can be the old challenges that have always been around, and some can be the newer ones that we have to take into consideration.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you mentioned one of the biggest challenges today, and that is the impact that computers and the Internet have had on aspiring entrepreneurs and those who are veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while the Internet and all that it has on it can be very, very good for our research, for bringing us success, what we also are challenged with is backing away from the computer so that we can find new ways of finding happiness in our businesses. Now, I'm okay. One of those people with, I actually counted the number of sites that I have, and I have 34 websites, and I almost don't want to admit this, but I've created each one of them, and I'm just a stickler for checking them pretty much every week to see how the revenue is increasing and any questions that people have for me through those sites. And I do have an assistant who is coming on board now and helping me more with that. But at the same time, I find that at a certain point, I just have to back up, back away, mm-hmm. turn off the screen. And that's something that I really encourage the listeners to do, because we can get so intrigued and so involved with what we're doing online. And, yes, it can be very motivating, you know, whatever we're looking at, whatever we're working on. But at the same time, to really do well it's very mm-hmm. important to look at things from a non-computer perspective to then just get a grasp on how we can benefit if we did not have a computer. As you know, some of us didn't have computers years ago, and we never thought anything like what's going on now would have exploded the way it has.
That's true.
But for example, I have a client who she has a large house, and that's one big benefit, I guess, of having a place of your own. But mm-hmm. in her place, she has an attic. She's made space in her attic. Mm-hmm. So that when she wants to back away from the computer, and she actually has put time on her schedule so that she actually has a timer that beeps, and she knows she is to immediately get up. It doesn't matter if she's in the middle of an email, if she's in the middle of anything, she immediately gets up. She puts on her bathing suit. It doesn't matter what season it is. She is on the East Coast, so it does get cold quite often. She puts on her bathing suit, her sun hat, and a cover-up. She goes up to her, and this is happiness. She goes up to her attic. She has an area all laid out in her attic. Now, you can do this in an apartment as well. She has an area with her beach chair. She has an area with some sand. She's already cordoned off the sand. In a little sandbox. She has a beach ball. And before she goes upstairs, she has a couple of drinks her to take the drinks upstairs. She has a shaker, and she has a couple of books on the side of her beach chair, and she has a beach hour to herself because she loves that type of environment.
She loves the beach.
So she has created this happiness environment for herself. And the first time her husband saw her do this, he actually came upstairs because he's wondering why she has her suit on. And mm-hmm. he came upstairs, and she said that the first thing he said to her was, "You're crazy." And she actually looked at him over her sunglasses and just returned to reading her book. Within 15 minutes of her hour break, here he comes. Now, he doesn't have on his trunks, but he did change into some shorter pants. And uh-huh. he took the other beach chair that they have, because they have the two beach chairs, and he set out his beach chair and just, you know, and then started looking at the kind of drink she had and wanted to share her drinks. So who's really crazy here? So this is how she infuses her happiness, getting mm-hmm. away from the computer. She loves what she does online, but she's mapped out this strategy for herself so that when she goes back into her computer mode, she's refreshed, she's enjoyed her time off, you know, somewhere between like a 1:30, 2:30, and mm-hmm. she's ready and she's invigorated for the rest of the work in the afternoon.
That's fantastic. And you know what's so great about her solution is that it doesn't cost money.
Exactly.
It doesn't require travel. It just requires a change in mindset.
Exactly.
And by changing your location, even if you don't choose to do the beach setting that she had, all of us have at least one other room, or we have the out of doors. And just going to my patio helps me to relax and change my mindset.
Absolutely.
Or going for a walk. I live on a super long block, and if I walk around the entire block, it gives me a little 10-minute walk.
Exactly.
And sometimes that alone can just change the way that your day is going, because I'm one of those people that you have to pull away from the computer that you were talking about earlier. You know, this shameful, disproportionate amount of time. But I have to recognize periodically I need to get away.
Well, Flora,
and you don't have to go that far.
Yes, and Flora, you also, I know you, you also recognize getting away from the computer in another way, too. You happiness to your life by having a pamper day.
I sure do have
fabulous.
Pamper day. That's
fabulous.
Wednesday. Wednesday mornings, pamper day.
That's wonderful. And, again, that's part of the exercise we do in making sure that we take time for ourselves so that we, when we get back to work, we are refreshed, invigorated, and have looked at things from a different side. So while you have a pamper day, I'll have a mastermind group day with two other friends. Now, pamper is cool. I'm working on, after 19 years of business, I'm still working on getting a pamper day. But at least I have right now a mastermind group where once a month, two friends and I get away. Right now we're going to a library. We might end up somewhere else for another visual. But our happiness includes not only talking about business. Of course, we're going to be talking about that, but we also infuse a lot of information that has to do with our family life, our homes, so that everything that can be discussed within the time frame that we have is discussed. And then when we get back to our businesses, we have ideas and concepts and strategies from our other two members that we would not have been able to dream up on our own. Just wonderful to have that kind of group. Even if you don't have two people to talk with, perhaps there's another one person that whose information you can trust, where the two of you can get away to a coffee bar or maybe do a pamper evening where you put your feet into a soak or a scrub and have your nails done and talk about business or talk about something other than business during that time. So, again, you are refreshed and revived.
And you know what? The pamper day, doing it as a group or as a pair, you can do that virtually. You do not have to necessarily meet physically. So let's say if we chose to do a one-hour pamper session, you get your soap, your foot soap going. I get my foot soap going and some tea. And we can actually have a pamper session virtually without physically being in the same city. But I wanted to point out, I'll go back to something you said earlier about getting help. This whole thing of delegating and getting help allows you time to pamper yourself or to take time off, because that old saying about all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Well, it makes Jill a dull girl, too. And there's a point beyond which you just are not making any progress. You're going around in circles.
That's
and
right.
It's important to get away. So delegating work to other people, which is really hard when you are a self-starter and you're a hard worker. It's really hard to say, I can't do all of this. I can't juggle 15 balls. Maybe I could juggle 12, but when I got to 15, then I needed help. So getting that help, whether it's a virtual assistant or having a tech person do some parts of your website, and I know you've done that before.
Absolutely.
Where instead of trying to figure out every single itty-bitty thing, when you hit a snag, let a tech person do that.
Oh, yes.
The money is well spent.
That's
to
right.
Let
you're
someone
happy.
Do that.
Yes. That puts a big smile on your face.
And I want to say something, too, about the lady who created the beach setting in her house. I've heard of other people who have had what they called, one guy called it his sanctuary.
Mm.
And he had a home where he had space enough to have like a gazebo in his yard or patio or whatever. And that was his sanctuary, that he reserved that place to go and be quiet, to retreat, regroup, and he kept it free. There was no work going on in there when he would go there, but he would go there and spend some time just letting his mind float and not think on business. And it seems like that's taking time away from our business, and I know sometimes I feel like, oh, I don't have time to take a walk right now. But
yeah.
It's not taking time away. It's really enhancing and improving the time we spend. And I told you not long ago I started a morning walk with one of my neighbors. And that has made such a tremendous difference in my overall happiness, my peace of mind, my creativity.
That's fabulous.
I just can't believe how it has made a difference, because walking is the simplest exercise. You don't have to join anything other than put one foot in front of the other and keep going forward. You'll eventually cover a mile or 2 miles or whatever. And sometimes you need a buddy to help motivate you, like I do.
But
some people get out there and run, walk, whatever. But whatever way you do it, it's important.
One other thing that I do that kind of piggybacks on the walk, but takes it to another level, is that I'll take a ride on a bus from time to time. I happen to be in an area where the bus to New York is just steps away from me. It's a block and a half away from my office, and I may not have to do anything in New York, but there's just something about the scenery that I'm looking at into New York and then out of New York, that if I'm not thinking about business, and oftentimes I'm trying not to think about business, I just want an empty head, for lack of a better way of saying it. I don't want to think about anything. I just want to see what's out the window, what the landscapes are like, how the buildings are shaped, what people are wearing. And I want to hear sounds, and I want to see sights that I don't normally see in between my four walls. And
that is
a great stimulator to create just a new environment in my mind that then translates into better business and better relationships for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not a train, then I'm sorry, if there's not the bus, then you might want to take a train ride somewhere. Again, you're seeing things in fast motion, but sometimes an entrepreneur needs to just clear their heads that way. And I absolutely believe in the walks. Mm-hmm. I haven't taken a walk in a long time, and I need to get back to that. And you certainly encouraged me with that. I last year I had two dogs, and I would walk them around one block and then around another block. So you can even have a buddy. If you don't have a buddy who actually speaks English, you at least have a buddy that you can trot behind, or, you know, that buddy can keep up with you. And, you know, the two of you are having fun together.
Yeah, yeah.
So that the train, the plane, well, not the plane. That's a little too expensive. But the bus, the train, your own feet, that's going to help you to get to that happiness quotient.
Mm-hmm. Something else that I know you do, which helps to balance the kind of work you do on your computer all the time, is you take your camera with you.
Oh, yeah.
And many times when you're out just seeing the city, listening to the sounds or whatever, I know you've shot some great pictures of things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise, perhaps wouldn't even thought about otherwise, and they just look like great shots, and you may or may not be able to use them later for something, but I know just shooting pictures forces you to see things from a different perspective than normal. So going out with your camera, shooting things, and they don't have to be scenes with people in them sometimes, and interesting tree trunk. I kind of get fascinated with the texture of trees. When I look at some trees, I can really see that paper originates from them.
Mm.
And it's just, there are a lot of ways to break away and give your mind another exposure. And when you come back to your work, it is so tremendous, the benefit. Go ahead.
Very true. And those types of pictures I end up sharing with my audience at the solobusinessmarketing.com blog. I love the fact that I can find pictures online, but then when you have your own pictures, you bring a new element to what other people are reading and the joy that they get from what you're sharing with them. I mean, there are so many times when I'll take my camera out, not just to photograph things that are in my neighborhood, but I certainly take it with me when I'm speaking at different events in different states all over the United States. And I'll take some photographs that are that don't seem relevant to anything, which is, to me, wonderful, because everything doesn't have to have relevance. But then all of a sudden there's a viewpoint that I find that then I share with people who read the blog that just gives them another aspect about thinking about their business, sometimes without thinking about it, and coming up with a new concept or a new product or service for their customers, or a new way of thinking about business so that they can find more value in what they're going to offer when they finally start their business.
Right. I wanted to getting to your book. I'm wondering if you could share with us who you think would most benefit from your book on marketing strategies. The first timer, the person just starting, someone in business already. Who would most benefit from your book?
Well, the two groups that I can think of right off are the people, the individuals who are just starting their business, the aspiring entrepreneurs. The book goes into many solutions before you get to a problem so that you understand how to network. I have one story in the book on how I was at an event and a young lady went to each person who was sitting at each chair and just started handing out her business cards. There was no no connection, no talk between us. She just wanted to hand out her business cards. And at the end of that particular session, I was walking out pretty much one of the last people out of the door because I was doing some networking. And I saw this young lady's cards all over the chairs, all over the all over the tables, because no, she hadn't made a connection, so the cards stayed right there. So little things like that is what today's aspiring entrepreneurs will find in the book, as well as other tips. And also entrepreneurs who have been in business for a while, veterans, who just want to refresh themselves with good business etiquette, with good marketing tips and techniques that they may be overlooking today because they've been so entrenched with what they've been doing that they haven't taken time to think about other ways to make a good impact through postcards, through teleseminars, through protecting their intellectual property that they've worked on so long that they haven't taken the time to really protect it so that no one else will be able to trademark what they're doing.
Okay, that's important, which leads me to ask you about how you decided to write your book, because obviously you had been sharing marketing strategies with people for many years. What led you to create the book and make it available to the public?
I decided to write marketing strategies for the home-based business because although there were so many small business books on the market, I didn't see any that specifically spoke to those who are in business for themselves without employee support. And there are somewhere between 17 million and 21 million of us, according to the United States Census. So having so many millions of people who are in business on their own without employee assistance, we're all able to find snippets of information in small business books, but I felt that the book that I wrote for people who are solo business owners would find more information that they'd be able to start and complete successfully on their own or maybe with some outsourcing help. Through the tips that I shared in the book. And actually, my new website, which is solo.
Uh-oh.
Are we still there, Flora?
Yeah, I'm here. For a minute, I lost you.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
So the site, solomarketingbook.com, actually gives you an audio of the introduction of the book, if anybody is interested in hearing what the book is about, according to the introduction.
say your website again? Solo?
Solomarketingbook.com.
Okay. Okay. So they can go there and hear, say again what they're going
to
hear?
They can hear the introduction to the book. You'll see on that website, there's a button to the right side of the page, and you just click the button, and you'll hear me start to give you the introduction of the book.
Wow. Okay. Speaking of which, now we're talking about the book, what are some of the important pieces of advice, especially for home-based entrepreneurs, that you cover in the book and that we need to know in order to be successful in our businesses, but at the same time maintain our own personal happiness? What are some of the specific tips that you give?
Well, one that I mentioned just briefly is that even though we are working for ourselves, we're going to find times when we have to outsource.
Okay.
We have to outsource some of the work that we cannot do. You had gone over there with some of the computer work that I've done. And
mm-hmm.
it's very important to have a network of outsourced individuals that help you not only with the computer but with a lot of the administrative work that
mm-hmm.
you'll end up doing but not like so much, such as record
mm-hmm.
keeping or filing, other things that another person who is more versed in that work can do, so that helps to streamline your time and you can work on the projects that you really want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
I had also talked about networking, and the book goes into networking and how and where networking is done best. We don't all have access to a golf course, but there are going to be other places where you will be able to just start talking with a person, and all of a sudden your business, whether it's a product or service, can be kind of put into the conversation because it happens to work there. And that
mm-hmm.
can be with anyone from a new person to your bank officer to talking with an accountant or anyone else who's in your circle of family and friends. The
mm-hmm.
book also has two marketing plans. That's something that I haven't really seen in a lot of small marketing books, small
mm-hmm.
business marketing books.
Mm-hmm.
So I give you two different marketing plans, one for a service business and one for a product business, that a person can actually take to mold for themselves. And I find
mm-hmm.
that that's very important as a new business owner, so that you have your have a plan in front of you instead of working from a notebook and
mm-hmm.
having the pages all over the place. So that just
okay.
gives you a sketch of what's in the 10 chapters of the book.
Could I back up to networking? The example you gave of the young lady who went to the meeting and just passed out her cards indiscriminately,
yes.
that she probably thought she was networking. Obviously, she was not.
What should she have done differently?
Yeah, she needed your book. What should she have done? What's the solution for that? Because I've seen that happen many times. Matter of fact, at least she was passing them out. I've seen business people put a stack of them on every table that's at a luncheon or something, assuming that people are going to reach and grab.
Yeah,
and
you're right
the same
about that.
Thing, yeah, and the same thing happens at the end of the event. You see the folks cleaning up the room, throwing away all these business cards.
Mm.
So what should this young lady have done? What would have been a better use of her business card strategy that would have led to good relationships and success in her business and her personal happiness eventually? Because she's going to be unhappy when she discovers that she's not going to get a single call from any of those cards.
Very true. Well, I find that most entrepreneurs are extroverts. They love speaking with many different types of people to find out more about that person's business or that person's lifestyle, that person's
mm-hmm.
family life. And as an example, I find myself when I go to events or just with a group of people in general, I will strike up a conversation according to something that another person is wearing. So usually I'll start with meeting women at events that I'm at. And I'll see something about their shoes, their pocketbooks. You know, I'll find that common ground and mm-hmm. just mention something about their accessory and ask where they got it from. Do they travel a lot? And then we get into why we're at the event, what we're looking for, what's brought us to the event, and what we hope to get from the event when we exit. And that helps to break the ice, and through the conversations, and then at the end, we're able to exchange business cards, and now we have some foundation where we've spoken with each other. So that would have been a better option for that young lady. Instead of passing out the business cards to the many, finding the best possible resources through speaking with different people in the room or as many people as possible and finding that common ground.
I think if we remember that most of us are most concerned about ourselves and that old acronym, what's in it for me,
yes,
is the thing that most people are going to be concerned about. So when we meet someone, if we can find out what business they're in and how we can help them, I think it makes them more interested in us.
That's right. And that is a wonderful happiness quotient right there, because there are so many people who have been either starting a business or have been in business that don't really connect with that. Or here, I have to say, in the New York area, too many times, because we have been brought up kind of hard and not recognized that a person genuinely wants to help you, that sometimes we forget the value in asking, what are you looking for? I remember several years ago, and in fact it was 1999, when I got on a bus, and it was in New York, it was one of the crosstown buses going from east to west, and I happened to not have enough money on my Metro card, the system that New York uses so that you don't have to put money into the till when you get in a bus or get on the train. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have enough money. There was a young lady sitting in front of the bus, and she immediately handed me the coins that I needed to take that bus ride. And I looked at her so strangely as if, you know, I said to myself, what's the catch? And she said to me,
"You New Yorkers."
Yes, and I'm one of them. And looking at her as though she's so strange. And she said to me, after I thanked her for the money, or before I thanked her, she said, "Help someone else out the next time they need a couple of coins." Mm-hmm. And I looked at her, and I said to her, "I will. Thank you so much." And mm-hmm. I took my seat, and I really had to think to myself, boy, there still are some great people who help one another, and
exactly.
decided to do more of that myself. And that goes back into giving back through the book and the information
right.
that I share.
Wow. I want to share something you made me think about, I hadn't thought of in a long time, about a networking group I used to belong to. And one of the members was well known for always coming to the meeting with something for someone else, because she had learned, you know, we met every month, and she had learned what the businesses were and what people were looking for. And every meeting she came in with an article or some kind of reference, and this was not required by our group, but she would come in, and before the meeting, as we were sitting around the tables eating dinner, she would dash and say, "Oh, Flora, I saw this article that I thought would be of interest to you in your business.
And so
here's an article or an announcement that might help you in your business. And so here's a referral that you might want to check out. I think this person would be a good client for you." So this, she was well known because she was so helpful and thoughtful. She did this every meeting. And it was just amazing. That, to me, is true networking, because do you think I'm ever going to forget her?
Absolutely.
Of course not.
Absolutely.
Course
and
not.
She's bringing happiness to the table.
That's right.
If
That's
a person
right.
is going to, if anyone, if she needs support from anyone, she is assured, and not, you know, and for an organic reason, she's assured of having that person's ear, not just because she wants something from someone, but because she's
exactly.
so giving. And
exactly.
that really shows the happiness training within her own spirit to be able to
exactly.
give back, even though it's not even a giving back, it's a giving. And
right.
that's such
yeah.
a blessing.
That's right. Yeah, it's a way of assuring yourself and your business that you're going to be successful and move forward, because you aren't expecting anything back
Absolutely.
From that particular person. But it was kind of like your experience on the bus where the young lady helped you with the change.
Yes.
She encouraged you to pay it forward. You,
exactly.
You're moving it forward, because all of us need help at some time or another. And not because, like in your case, not because you don't have money. You didn't have it at that moment.
Exactly.
And it's like the millionaire in the desert. All his money does him no good in the desert. He needs water.
Very true.
And so we all have times when we need something, and it's so important to have built the relationships. If you have those relationships in your business, no matter what kind it is, it's certainly going to make you happier and successful, because you'll be able to then tap into the various help you need or get information that will lead you to the help that you need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, another way that I find happiness and find other happy people,
mm-hmm.
which stimulates my business growth, is to visit a library or a museum.
Mm-hmm.
Before the internet, the library was a very, very popular place. And while I do believe that libraries are still popular,
mm-hmm.
they seem to have lessen their popularity with some people who believe that all the information that they need to gather is behind that computer or in front of the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that when I walk into a library, this may sound a bit silly, but I'm almost doubled over. There's just something that happens in my stomach. I say to myself, all of this good information just waiting for me in every aisle. There's every type of book. Every type
of book. I think you have a similar experience when you go into a bookstore, too.
Oh, yes. Very true. Very true. Because it seems that bookstores are like the new library, you know,
uh-huh.
with the newer books, and you can sit down with coffee. I mean, I received some of my back issue of books with some coffee stains in them. So that kind of tells me that some people actually sat at the table and read the book, and now there's a few coffee stains. But it's okay. The fact is that they were able to take the information from the book and hopefully do something with it. But I do absolutely love what libraries have to offer. In fact, I was there this morning reviewing
oh.
some books, and just I had to take a couple of twists and turns through the 650 aisle where all the business books are, but I
uh-huh.
also go down the 001 aisle, 001 aisle, where the
yeah,
technological
correct.
Books are,
yeah.
and then I will check the 300 aisle with the stock and investment books.
My
and
goodness.
I'll also look
no, you're
at the,
doing decimal, huh?
I do. Also, I think somewhere in the 800s or maybe 900s, I forgot which one, the travel book.
Travel. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you must see the travel books. How many places can you visit, you know,
mm-hmm.
just through the pages? And
right.
I'll also look at the biographies also, because successful people have so much to share with us in terms of where they've been, where
mm-hmm.
they've gone, and how they see their life evolving, and who has helped them along the way. And that's so important to find where your happiness is also by learning what successful people have done. So
exactly.
there are certain areas in the library I love, but at the same time, I'll check out the 400s, I'll check out the 900s, because I think 900s is history, so that can be
right.
very important.
Right.
And
the
801s or whatever with writing tips. So there's just something down each aisle. And I tell you, that doubling over that I do. is worth it.
Dewey Decimal System.
I know it well. I know it well.
Well, you know what? You said something about people aren't going to the library as much, but I heard on the news the other day that with so many people being out of work and seeking information or maybe just seeking place to hang out, the libraries are actually finding that their numbers are increasing.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, more people are going to the library, maybe not the same reasons that you are, but, you know, it's so great to go to the library. I empathize, because I, too, get that excited feeling when I'm in the library, and it's just, I don't care how much technology we have, there's nothing like going into a library and touching books and browsing.
There's nothing like
that experience. And even when it takes you away from your office or your business momentarily, or takes you out of your field and you just browse some field that you never read in, that, those things are so tremendous. And
absolutely,
they give a lot of joy. Give me a lot of joy. I know that. We have a number of people online. I don't think I've had any questions yet. Well, one of the people on the web chat said that she hasn't been to a library for years, and I have to admit that I went to the library more in the last year because of writing my book and researching than I had been in a long time. And I found that I stayed in there so long, I had to, you know, force myself out of there. I had to carry a bottle of water so that I wouldn't get dehydrated while I was in the library.
Well, you for the person who said that they haven't been to the library in a long time, it's okay if you believe that your local library doesn't have the type of support and books that you're looking for, or maybe the updated books. I mean, that can happen in a local setting where the library might be small or it doesn't invest in itself. Then there could be a library in another town, in a town that's next to yours, that has better services, that really equips the town and the people in the area with the kind of information that they're looking for. So, for example, the library that I went to this morning was not my home library, but it's one that really invests in the community. The DVDs are so extensive.
Oh, wow.
You can get DVDs on absolutely every topic you can imagine.
We're running out of time. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just noticed we have about 2 minutes remaining.
Oh, my goodness, that was so quick.
Time went fast. So I want to quickly say to thank you so much, Shirley, for being my guest. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I didn't want the closing song to come on while you're still
this
talking.
My pleasure, Flora, and I wish everyone all the happiness and much more.
Yeah. Now, I want to thank my listeners, too, for tuning in, because without listeners, you don't have a radio show. And I want to encourage all of you to join me again next Monday, April 20th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, when my guest will be Kate Phillips. She's the founder of Total Wealth Coaching and the author of Overcoming Financial Stress. She's going to share with us the secrets to raising your own level of peace and joy, even as the financial markets are bottoming out. Boy, we all need to listen to that. I want to remind all of you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. This is Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy to serve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And Shirley, I want to thank you again so much for being on the call. I hope that all of you have been enlightened or encouraged and empowered by today's episode. We'll share what you've learned with your family and colleagues. If you were not on at the very beginning of the show, no problem. You can always come back to the show page and listen to the past episodes, and you can find them under on-demand episodes. I want to encourage all of you to have a blessed week, And there's just one thing I want you to remember to do. Guess what it is?
Color your life happy.